This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
643, we welcome to the studio former President of Ireland, Mary Robinson, who I had the pleasure of having on the old afternoon show. I don't know, it must have been 10 or 12 years ago. Welcome back to Chicago.
Thank you.
It's been a big week for you.
It has, indeed.
What did the City Council do for you?
Well, there was a special session of the City Council, and they gave me the Medal of Merit, which I gather is quite exceptional.
It's very good. I don't have one. Dave, do you have a Medal of Merit?
No, I do not.
No, it's a nice honor.
They were trying to remember when it happened last, and I really was very... both affirmed and humbled by what was said on the occasion, and just that nice sense that the City Council really wanted to honour me for things that I've tried to do all my life.
Well, and I have a sense that you are busier now than you were as president. When you traveled the world on behalf of Ireland, you just seem like you're busier than ever.
I'm pretty busy, all right, because I have a foundation on climate justice. I don't talk about climate change. I talk about the way it affects people
and the
injustice of the fact that it affects the poorest countries and poorest communities. But I also now have a mandate for the United Nations, a special envoy of the Secretary General, on El Nino and climate, because we now know that the El Nino weather pattern is aggravated by climate.
So climate change negatively impacts the weather to create the extremes in heat and extremes in storms and probably extremes in cold as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I ask it as a question because I don't fully understand it. I don't claim to be a meteorologist, but, you know, we have no cohesive thought by the major governments of the world on what to do about it. But the Paris agreements are really the standard now, right?
That's right. There was a good agreement in Paris last December, and the United States and indeed China together played a big role in preparing for Paris and have played a role since in together ratifying before the G20 the Paris Agreement. The Secretary General has designated the 21st of September as a day for other countries to ratify. It could come into effect this year, the Paris Agreement. And we had talked before about a Paris Agreement coming into effect in 2020. So that tells you that countries around the world are taking climate change very seriously.
Because
now
there's urgency, which you have seen firsthand. You said you were in Ethiopia earlier this year?
That's right. I was asked to go and draw attention to the humanitarian crisis that's affecting 60 million people in our world today.
Right.
It's a hidden crisis because we have Syria and we have refugees coming into Europe and all those issues. But actually, this is a slow onset, hidden drought crisis where El Nino has aggravated the existing drought and El Nino itself is exaggerated by climate change. In Ethiopia, I went up to Tigray in northern Ethiopia and I saw malnourished children again. You know, a terrible problem, maybe stunted for life. I went then to the dry corridor in Central America, to Honduras. They've never had drought for so long and in such a prolonged way. I then went to southern Africa and met the African leaders of South Africa, Zimbabwe, Botswana, etc., because they were at a leaders' meeting. And every single one of them said, it's worse than we remembered. And then last week I was in Vietnam before coming here to Chicago. Same thing. Vietnam is deeply affected. And everybody knows now that things are so much worse and that this is the hottest year on record. And you know, we have to take it seriously.
The weather patterns that we have in the various parts of the world, are they basically, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but are the weather patterns that we're used to, are they simply made worse? Is that what we know, that everything we see as extremes are going to be more extreme?
That's right. And there were never a need for special envoys for El Nino before, because it was a predictable pattern that did affect countries, but they coped.
Right.
Now it's aggravated by climate change. It's overwhelmingly bad.
If you could wave a wand over this and get one thing from the collective governments of the world, would it be better control over emissions, or what would the work be?
Absolutely. We need to do far more on emissions. There were promises made, every country committed before Paris, but when we add up the commitments made, it still leaves us at least 2.7 degrees Celsius of warming above pre-industrial standards. And that's far too high. And that's, if everyone did everything they said, that's where we would be. We're on course for about 3 or 4 degrees, which is catastrophic.
Right.
I mean, I have grandchildren, and they will be in their 40s in 2050. They'll share the world with 9 billion other people. And I ask myself, if we don't change course and cut emissions, particularly in the rich world, get renewable energy everywhere fast, put a price on carbon, put a tax on carbon, preferably.
Right. China is one of the major violators of this, so it does me good to hear, it does my heart good to hear you say that China and the U.S. have agreed on anything related to this. But the Chinese government, are they doing their part to the best of our knowledge?
It's very interesting. I mean, there are lots of issues where the United States and China don't agree, but they agree on the importance of addressing climate. And the reason that China agrees is that China has polluted cities. They can't breathe the air. They have polluted water, and they know now that they have to change.
Yeah, they're choking their own people.
They've become the lead country on the renewables, on solar and on wind. They're beating America on it at the moment.
Well, there's no way to hide now. You know, previously, prior to the 90s, prior to the internet, certainly prior to now, Beijing could have a day where you literally could not see the hand in front of your face and the world wouldn't know. Now the world knows instantly.
Yeah, and you know, young Chinese are leaving Beijing and Shanghai because they don't want to live with their children in a very polluted city.
They want to breathe.
Yeah. And so the economics of it are very clear now for the Chinese, and you know they have changed. Countries like India need to develop. They've got 400 million very poor people. They're trying to do it by solar, but they're also saying coal is cheap with us. We'll do it by coal if we have to. If developing countries don't have the real option of renewable energy and use fossil fuels, we will not be able to have a safe world for our grandchildren. That's the bottom line.
And the fact of the matter is, this does not have to eliminate here at home the thousands and thousands of jobs for coal miners and kill the coal industry. It's a transitional process that needs to have urgency to it.
It's a transitional process that needs to be just, needs to be fair.
Yeah, for all parties.
For all parties. Right. And in particular, you know, you need training, reskilling, and other jobs, because this is an inevitable process.
Well, at least it's a priority for our two... It's not a priority for our two candidates. I'll try not to put you on the spot here, but honestly, how big a joke is campaign 2016 around the world and back home?
All I would say is the world is very apprehensive about this presidential election, yeah. And I think I speak for the whole world.
I think you do as well. I would love to hear the conversations you have off the X. Steve Cochran Show continues. The former president of Ireland, Mary Robinson, is here, first female president of Ireland. And you are in the process of helping assemble the presidential library?
That's right. I'm very excited about the project, particularly because it's going to be in the family home where I grew up in Ballina. I grew up with these four brothers in a house that's on the river just opposite the cathedral in Ballina.
And of course, Ballina.
In Ballina.
Okay, Ballina.
County Mayo.
And tell me about Ballina. How big a town?
It's about 8,000 population, so it's small, but it's been a market town down the years, and it has this beautiful River Moy with famous salmon fishing. So in the summer, we get a lot of visitors to fish.
Sure. And you're growing up as a little girl there. Could you ever have imagined this career?
Well, the one thing I can say is that with four brothers, two older and two younger than me, I had to be very keen on human rights and gender equality and using my elbows and fighting back.
You never would have gotten a meal.
But no, I never did dream. And actually, the idea of using the home and building an annex beside it, because the local authority own the land beside it and we can build a big modern annex, which will also give a lot of facilities. The idea wasn't mine originally. It was the local county council, because Mayo has been badly affected by the financial downturn.
Sure, sure.
And also the government has come in very strongly. Half the money is from the government and the local authority. I'm giving my collection, which has been valued, I'm interested to see, quite highly in many millions, and that will be housed in the library. We also have a link with the National University of Galway, which has a great human rights centre and a great global women's centre. And I've had long connections with them. We're already running programmes, particularly on women's rights. And we've had international human rights lectures by very distinguished lecturers for the last 3 years.
Well, I think that's the important thing, too. And I can't speak to what President Obama's library will be like here, but the library needs to be, and the center needs to be, more than just a historical look at the individual's career. It's got to be innovative and forward-looking as well, right?
That's right. I certainly didn't want a mausoleum or some monument to somebody who's still living.
Not going anywhere yet.
But, no, I'm really excited about it, because we need a place where young people in Ireland can, you know, learn about human rights, gender equality, climate justice, and be inspired. And, you know, we're a people who have a great interest in developing countries, for example. We have had our own famine, so we identify with the plight of developing countries. I found the same spirit here in Chicago, I must say, and I know about the generosity of Chicago, because I think the last time I was on your show, I was here for an event for Concern Worldwide in support of it. And that was supporting Concern's work in Africa and in Bangladesh, and the generosity and the interest of people. I found since I've been here talking about the Presidential Library for the last few days that there's a great interest and support, and I really appreciate that. I want to develop a partnership, basically, with people here in Chicago, an ongoing partnership.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is Chicago is a very important city to Ireland and vice versa, you know, country to city, city to country.
Absolutely, and that's now reflected in the fact that a member of the Irish Senate, Senator Billy Lawless, lives here represents the diaspora. I put a light in the
window. Nice restaurateur, as a matter of fact.
I've been in one of his restaurants.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's a great guy.
I mean, I put a light in the window of my official residence. I said I would do that when I was elected. I just couldn't believe the power of that light. When I travelled for the 7 years that I was president, everywhere I went, I didn't mention the light because they said, we know you have a light in the window and it means so much to us.
So it's more than symbolism. It's just
more
a really
than
nice
symbolism,
gesture.
But it's a powerful, powerful symbol. And that light actually will be in the Presidential Library in Ballina.
Spend any time in Sligo?
Yes, I love Sligo and the Yeats country. And I
think I told you last time, my brother-in-law Ian is from Sligo.
And it's a beautiful county.
What I'm told.
Yeah, in fact, we'll be linking with the Yeats Summer School in our work.
Yeah, he's told me I can't go there. It's really nice to see you again. I am a fan of your work and so respectful of what you're doing and trying to get done. So hopefully the rest of the world will join you in the effort.
Well, thank you very much.
And we'll do whatever we can here.
Yeah, well, I've certainly enjoyed my time here and the weather. Thank you very much.
How many days in a row without rain? You must be just starting to get a little twitch.
Well, I gather it's coming.
Yes, it may. But safe travels wherever you go.
Thank you very much
indeed.
I appreciate
that. Thank you for the work you do and continue to do. Okay. We'll take a break. News next, 720 WGN.